Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast, an intelligent, imaginative, hospitable exploration of ideas that matter in contemporary life. And now, here's your host, Dick Staub.
Hi, this is Dick Staub, live from Windrider Forum at Sundance Film Festival. And now, here's our host, Craig Detweiler.
Y'all are so kind to come this morning, right? Y'all should, they should be sleeping, and they're singing.
We were out a little late last night. Yeah.
Just last night, though.
Right.
Only last night. It was the first time we've ever been out late. Ever.
Just so everybody's clear, Joy Williams,
hi.
John Paul White, and their producer, Charlie Peacock. Give them a big hand. This is a pretty big week for you guys, right? February 1st, you've been building towards this day for a while.
Yeah, it seems like everything is, kind of pointing toward the next thing. We had no clue that something like this would happen as soon as it has in our trajectory, but we've been surprised many times in the past couple of years, actually, since we met. So we're taking it one step at a time and loving every bit of it. Yeah.
Well, I had about 2-3 different friends send me the link to the Barton Hollow video, and that thing rocks.
Thank you very much.
That is hot. Anybody seen that Barton Hollow video? Don't look it up right now, but look it up later.
You can.
Go ahead. We got time.
Check, is this on? Can you guys hear me? You can? Okay. Wow, really?
Can we turn her down?
Stop. If I had a dime.
Charlie, you've produced, all kinds of folks. What was it like to work with these two talented young people?
Well, working with the Civil Wars is definitely a highlight of my production career because probably for the last 10 years, I've had this ache, this production ache to work with an artist that what I call is like that I could take a Polaroid of. That I didn't have to, spend $120 million on production budget just to get it acceptable. And I've made so many recordings where it was sort of like when a record label signs an artist, they sign them, they say, they're kind of a 69% artist, and we're going to hire Charlie Peacock and get all these songwriters and get this manager and this booking agent. Publicity and everything, and by the end of it, we'll have 100% of an artist. And what my desire was, I wanted to work with like 101% artist to begin with. And so that's what I was given with the Civil Wars, where they just do what you heard this morning, and then I just take a sonic picture of it and tidy it up a bit, but for the most part, it's just capturing, like I say, a Polaroid of their performance. And that's really, when you're a young producer, you love tinkering with everything because it's all about your ego, But as you get older, you're just like, just give me something great.
Charlie's being very humble. Yeah. If all he did was take a Polaroid, then... Yeah. He made the scenery amazing because he has his touch is all over it in an invisible way. He did such a wonderful job of capturing what we wanted, knowing what we wanted, knowing how to get to the place that we were trying to get to and having no idea what the roadmap was. And so we're deeply indebted.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I love these guys are masters of restraint. Okay, it's like you just got schooled in dynamics and restraint. Okay,
and yeah. In a noisy world, we don't get much of that anymore.
No, and the reason why I was watching your faces, and the reason why your faces are lighting up, is because you're hearing something that you don't hear that often anymore, which is all of that contrast. And if you go back and study all the great art of the world, it's all about contrast. And that's one of the reasons why this, in a sense, works so well, because it leans into all the right things about great art making over the centuries.
Mm. That's pretty strong there, Charlie. I like that. Joy, you guys met at kind of a songwriting forum or something mm-hmm. like that?
Yeah, we were... We've both been songwriters for several years on a professional level, and our publishers, different publishers at the time, called several writers together, John Paul and I included, and I have since found out that he didn't want to go to that either. And
That's always a good way to start.
Yeah, it's always great. I was trying to find ways to not go because I felt very much like I wouldn't fit in. I'm not really a music row country writer, you know, come a little bit more from the pop sensibility. And John Paul, I now know, you know, while he has some roots to him, as sort of his background's more in rock and Appalachian roots, and so getting together, you know, and drawing straws and literally being put into a writing room together, shaking hands, being like, "Hey, I'm Joy. Hey, I'm John Paul." Neither of us knowing anything about the other person, only to sit down and John Paul to start tinkering away the way that he does so masterfully on the guitar. And just the singing together became this really strange, I don't even know how to describe it, but it just felt like this immediate family blend, like we'd been singing together all of our lives.
Well, we, you know, as soon as I heard it, I actually had the privilege of hearing you guys in Santa Monica, and I mean, it just popped out. And that kind of chemistry is so rare. Even the fact that you, I believe it was your second show, Live at Eddie's Attic, that you were like, yeah, let's just record it. Maybe we'll release it. Maybe you can download it for free. Your second show?
Yeah. Looking back, that may not have been the smartest idea, but we actually loved that it was warts and all. You got to hear what we did, and that it was an honest reflection, and also kind of an earmark in the book along the way of the story that I think we're building. That we wanted to just start a conversation with people. And because we're independent artists, we didn't have any red tape that we had to go through, which is awesome. And and so for us to be able to have something like that, for people to be able to share at will, like no email retrieval, no strings attached, was one of the biggest serendipitous benefits to the whole journey thus far, because we would show up in towns where we'd never played before and it would be packed and people would be singing the lyrics. And we continue just to pinch ourselves as we work, all of us, as we work really hard at what we're doing. We're just so thankful for the way that it's continued and grown organically.
Yeah. Well, the Civil Wars album's coming out February 1st. EP's already here. Talk to me about inspiration. You know, I mean, a lot of times people labor over this stuff for a long time and you just immediately kind of started creating. That's rare, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and that's one of the main reasons that it grew so fast and that we finally had the nerve to say, "So do you want to be in a band with me?" Which took about 6 months, uh-huh. Actually. From when we first met, we both felt exactly what she said. But we both kind of filed it away because we're way too cool to put our hearts on our sleeve.
I think that would be stubborn and not cool.
Yeah, you're stubborn. I'm too cool.
And humble. Anyways, and humble. Go ahead.
So it took a while and we both had been solo artists in totally different worlds, and felt like we'd had conversations about that, and I didn't know if I had anything left to say. I didn't know if I had anything that I even cared for people to hear. And so I was still writing songs and she was writing songs, and then it just got to a point where, like any great relationship, I could not imagine not doing it. I couldn't find a reason not to do it, which is probably not the best way to make all decisions, but that's somewhat the way I go about things, is I look at every angle possible. And once we got together and made that decision, every time we would sit down, other than maybe 2 days in 2 years that we've worked together, a song has come out that we recorded and is knock on wood. Yeah. And part of that is because we live apart. You know, I live 2.5 hours away down in Alabama. I'm close enough that I can be there every week if need be. So when we sit down, time is precious. But it's always that way for me because I'm out of town. So there's something else there, because every time we sit down, what was flowing from the last session still is flowing. And I've never been a part of anything like that before. And I wrote songs for about 10 years professionally before meeting her. So I knew it was something I had to latch on to. Until it runs dry, and then I'm going to kick her to the curb.
I love it when you talk sweet to me, JP. Yeah.
When it stops paying off, Charlie and I are going to start a duo.
What's it gonna, what are you going to call it?
The Korean Wars.
That's quick.
Dude, the cover art. I'm just imagining cover art. I'm just
We're both going to be in kimonos. It's going to be so hot.
It's getting really awkward.
All right, I got a question then.
You do?
Change it up. I'm going to ask maybe, you have time for two more questions? Is that all right? I'm going to ask two more questions. The name, right? Civil Wars. I mean, you're working out of a Southern context. But here at Sundance, we have seen a lot of films about conflict. Just yesterday, we saw two different films, one about the Civil War in Liberia, one about the Civil War in Rwanda. And I think, I don't know, it's easy for Americans to be like, oh, yeah, we had that happen way back then. Mm-hmm. But I'm from the South. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. There's a certain, y'all are bringing it out of me.
I heard it.
Right? So it's a loaded term.
Yeah.
You know, so talk to me about that title.
I think that when John Paul and I and my husband Nate, who manages us, when we were talking about band names, which is kind of, it's a daunting thing. I think it's a bit like naming a child in a way. You want it to have meaning. You want it to be unique, but not weird for weirdness sake. And we were just kind of going along the path of what does the music sound like thus far that we've been making? And, you know, there is a little bit of Southern Gothic in what we do, strangely, but, or not so strangely, I guess. But I think what you're talking about, conflict is universal, whether it's happening in Rwanda or whether it's happening within a home, whether it's happening within yourself, whether you wrestle with addiction or you wrestle with your faith or you wrestle with a job or a lack there of a job thereof. And I think that as we began crafting more and more of the music, we sort of realized that what we were writing about was those inner conflicts or those interpersonal conflicts. And it just made sense one day when I was driving around with Nate. There's so much like civil wars. There's just tons of monuments here and there. So the thought of it was originally, this is historical and it's around us, but it became a very personal thing. And I think it's continued to be sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy in the way that we keep creating and and threats of secession. Hey, you like that? Yeah. It's only 10:30 in the morning, people. Woo! I'm just warming up.
Am I going to get, like, shot if I try to leave the band?
Charlie, here at Sundance, we think in terms of sort of screenwriters and actors. In a sense, you've got the writers and the actors, the performers embodied here. There's a lot of different ways people understand the word producer. What does it mean to you to be a producer or to produce the Civil War's Barton Hollow?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if we were talking about film equivalent, the word producer is not an equivalent between film and music. And so, like, I've been a film producer as well, and that meant that, you know, I raised the money for the film and I got to watch it a couple times and tell them what I'd like them to change about it, okay? Which was not as involved as I wanted to be. However, usually the producer in music is somebody that is the overseer of all sort of macro and micro details. And your job is to keep it all together, you know, and your job is to hear everyone and to hear what their desires and dreams for the project are. And either execute them yourself or try to find the right people to execute them. So in the case of the Civil Wars, it would be more, the equivalent would be more like I hear this film Rabbit Hole, that is out right now with Nicole Kidman, where a bunch of actors wanted to make that film for quite a while, and so they all pitched in and helped together, you know, because they love this director's work and whatnot. So I think our project is more like that, where it's kind of a, more of a team coming together. It's not actors working for a director. It's all of us saying that we have a goal that we want to meet, and we don't quite know how to articulate it. The process is the thing that gives you the language. Like, for example, when we were working on their record, the process was that we captured all the performances, which, again, a film equivalent would be like capturing all the dialogue and all the acting in a room in a, against a green screen, and then, you know, taking that and manipulating it, and you know, 3 years later, you've got, you know, the actors watch it, and they say, I had no idea I was flying in the sky, you know? And that's one kind of production and direction, right? But for us, it was more about making the thing itself and letting that be so good that it could stand on its own. And then every other choice that we made about the music was all to almost ask a question of the music, sort of like, would you like this little friend to come along with you? And the little friend might be, you know, an extra dobro part, or it might be a little keyboard part or something. And at the minute that the project, you know, that we were all intimately involved with, the minute that it would say no, it would be resistant, you know, then we, all of us in the room, would back away and we'd say, okay, we won't force that on you. So in that way, it became very much a group, you know, creation. And so sometimes one person in the room would be quiet for a long time. And, you know, I don't know if you've realized this yet in terms of conflict resolution, but if you'll just be quiet for a long time, when you do speak, your voice will have meaning. So JP was great about that, because he might be quiet for a long time and then he would lob one in and then we would all go, well, yeah, of course, certainly.
That's so true. But
that's the kind of, you know, when you put these teams together, you don't always get that lucky, you know, where you get people who are, it's all of the good things about being an art maker coming together. You know, like you can't be a great art maker unless you have empathy. You know, you have to have ears to hear and eyes to see, and all those things work together. So we try to have a setting of empathy where we're listening to each other, and then almost treating the project like another person, like where we're listening to it all the time.
Mm-hmm. A final question for Joy and John Paul. This idea of listening, right? I mean, your music is about harmony. We've got all these young filmmakers and artists and people who are trying to find that voice. How do you develop that? How do you develop harmony? How do you develop that ear that is finely tuned to another?
Oh, man.
Well, between the two of us, that's quite impossible to answer, because it makes no sense that we lock up the way we do from the beginning. But as we like to say, this isn't our first rodeo either. So we've both been playing most of our lives, singing most of our lives, and typically as lead singers. But you know, along with that, you know, you have harmony coming into the fray. But it's a little bit of it's osmosis. A little bit of it is listening. A little bit of it is hard work. And singing a lot every day, and singing live with lots of audiences that could care less that you're there, or three people that are there just to drink and hit on whoever's in the room. And you have to get their attention, or you don't. You make that decision. And if you decide that you don't want their attention, then you shouldn't be doing this. Because it's a vain occupation that we have. We could sit at home and do this, but we don't. We travel the world and stand in front of people and say, love us. We don't say it out loud, but we do. It's the truth. And so part of that forces you to get better at what you do. I mean, if you make a film, you're not making it just for yourself, because you could just take it home and watch it in your living room. You really want to be on top of your game. And I think that over the course of time, you just fine-tune and fine-tune and fine-tune. And then if in your career path, what we're doing is feasible. Maybe you're always going to be a solo artist. Maybe you're always meant to be in a band. That's a personality thing. There's lots of factors that go into that. But then when we met each other, we were ready to meet each other. And that's the part that fate, destiny, whatever you want to call it, we were ready for that moment when we did meet. It's like I told her the other day, it's an old baseball player said, it's funny, the more I practice, the luckier I get. And that's, so we're, long answer is, I have no clue why this works the way it does. But there's been a lot of hard work up to this point to make that, you know, click partially at least.
Yeah, hear, hear.
Final thought, Joy?
Oh, gosh.
No pressure.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that you can't control how people will respond to your art. That can sometimes be so frustrating. That can be daunting sometimes. And I think in the process of working with John Paul and working with amazing people like Charlie as well, it's just the reminder that head down and do what you love. And if you love it, if no one else at the end of the day loves it, at least you've done something that you're passionate about. And as you said, the more you practice, hopefully the more excellent that we all get at what we do. And that people will take note. But at the end of the day, while that